So you may have realized by now, it's not easy being human. We're highly sensitive organisms, continuously being impacted by the world through our senses. But we're also subject to this tragic dimension of life that Nathan talked about last night, dukkha. And our tendency in the face of this is to want to push away, to ignore, to run away. Paradoxically, what we find is when we run away, we actually increase agitation. But we also deaden ourselves to an aspect of life and need to cut ourselves off from ourselves and from others. But when we actually turn to the difficult, to the hard to bear, to dukkha, what we find is the possibility of responding, of finding a way, a wise response that brings some ease, some lessening in the intensity of the pain and the suffering. But also it enlivens us. It opens us up to the whole spectrum of what it is to be a human being. So when this quality of metta that Zohar so beautifully shared with us yesterday, this intention to kindness, this quality of the heart of friendliness, of goodwill, when it meets suffering, when it meets the difficult, it naturally flows as compassion. It's the natural movement of the heart. Unfortunately, we allow it to get blocked through resistance, fear, agitation, distraction. And that natural movement of the heart is stopped. So compassion has two elements to it. The first is conveyed by the word anukampa, a Pali word, which literally means something like the heart that flutters with, or the heart that reverberates with. It's this connecting with another or with oneself who is suffering. This willingness to actually meet and touch their suffering. There's a sense in which we allow ourselves to be moved by it, but also we imagine ourselves, or we can imagine ourselves in their shoes. We understand what it's like to suffer. The English word empathy embodies that. That ability to empathize with another's pain and suffering, or with our own pain and suffering. The second aspect, embodied in the word karuna, which is usually translated as compassion, is this aspect where this connection, this movement of the heart, flows as a desire to respond, a wish that this person be free from suffering, be free from pain. So it's the movement to find a wise response that it can in some way soothe or alleviate the suffering to whatever degree is possible in that circumstance. And these two aspects are beautifully encapsulated by two characters. One here is the Bodhisattva of Compassion. She's called Guanyin. She's the Chinese Bodhisattva of Compassion. And we could see the Bodhisattva as an archetype that embodies a particular quality, in this case, compassion, and as a reminder to actually cultivate and practice that quality. And her name literally means something along the lines of the one who listens to, or the one who hears the cries of the world. So it embodies that sense of actually opening to and receiving and being moved by the suffering of the world. And then just outside the door into the meditation hall, just on the little window to the left, there's a little icon of Green Tara, who's actually a Tibetan bodhisattva, who again, of compassion. But she's actually depicted stepping down from her lotus throne. So she embodies this sense of actually responding, moving into action in response to the suffering we meet in the world. So again, compassion is a practice that we can actually formally do in our meditation, just as we did with metta yesterday. And again, similar to, as Zohar said yesterday, in the suttas where we have the records of what the Buddha said, we have the rather meager instructions of just radiated out into the world. And something has been developed over the centuries by various traditions as a way of working with this more concretely, let's say, in our meditation practice. So similar to the metta practice, we use different categories of beings, so we're actually starting to expand our compassion ever further out into the world. And traditionally, again, we use phrases. But really to emphasize that meditation practice also has an element of creativity, of experimentation, of playfulness. And for many people, phrases can be not the best way in to practicing with something like this. So if you have a particular orientation to being very visual, a lot of imagery and things like that, then use images. So I know some people use something like a light in the heart, and they imagine that light radiating out to touch another person or to fill their whole body with compassion. You can use something like a flower, a lotus flower or a rose opening. And as it opens, the fragrance conveys that sense of compassion out to another person or to oneself. For other people, maybe we move more through a kinesthetic, a more bodily sense. So it can be helpful maybe to recollect a time when compassion just naturally arose, and tune into how that feels in the body, and then allow that to grow and flow out to the people that you're actually bringing into the practice. For me, I struggled with all three of these ways of doing it over my practice life, and what I've actually found is actually using the breath can be a very helpful way in. So I imagine myself breathing in the quality. So breathing in metta or breathing in compassion. And then when I breathe it out, it radiates to whoever I'm actually bringing to mind. So I actually join it with my breath practice. And I find that a helpful way in. So really allowing yourself that freedom to find what really works for you in terms of developing these heart qualities. Just to point out as well, when we do this practice, we actually have, in a sense, two focuses at the same time. We have our sense of the person that we're actually radiating or developing the quality towards, but we also have the quality itself, and we're trying to hold those in some sort of balance. So I will use phrases as the way of access into this. It's the easiest way of teaching this. But if you're using another method, such as imagery or the breath or whatever, then please just allow the words that I say just to kind of float in the ether and to really stay with your practice. Again, I will offer three phrases, but feel free to adapt them, shorten them, or if you have your own phrases that resonate more deeply, to use those phrases. There's nothing sacred about the phrases I'm going to be offering. And similar to yesterday, we'll follow a similar structure. So we'll start with a being that we feel a natural connection with, a natural movement of the heart towards. So this can be a friend, but it can also be somebody that we don't necessarily know, but actually we feel a heart connection. So somebody like the Dalai Lama, some people use as that sense of connection, because they have a real heart connection with the Dalai Lama. And if, you know, we find it a bit difficult to start with a person, we can, of course, start with something like a pet or something that we really feel that connection with. When we bring this person or this being to mind, again, we start small. So if you're bringing a specific kind of circumstance of suffering that they have in their life to mind, don't choose something that's going to overwhelm you. Choose something that you feel you have the resources and the stability to meet at this moment in time. Again, this is a practice where we build the muscle of compassion so we can bring compassion to more and more of life over time. You can also tune into this more as a general shared experience of suffering. So we all are subject to dukkha. It's part of the human condition. We are all subject to aging, to illness, to losing what we hold dear, to not getting what we want and getting what we don't want, and to having this body-mind that's continuously in this push-pull of trying to hold on to experience and get rid of experience. So we can use that as a way of connecting with that shared experience of suffering when we bring a person to mind. So as with yesterday, if you're doing this practice and you find you start to become a bit overwhelmed, that the connection with suffering just becomes too much for you, again, meet that with compassion. What's the compassionate response to that? Well, it's to drop the practice, to come back to a practice that actually brings back some sense of stability, some sense of balance, some sense of actually being able to just be here with your experience and meet yourself with kindness. So also really honoring what is arising for you and seeing what's going to support you in any moment. So let's have a go at compassion practice. And maybe just to start with, really finding, tuning into, what's the kindest posture you can find yourself for yourself in this moment? A posture that will maintain some semblance of awakefulness, but also really meet yourself with kindness now. To start from that perspective of what is a compassionate response to yourself in terms of a posture. Whether that's sitting on a chair, on the floor, standing, reclining. Just really honoring what's going to support you now. So really settling into the posture and finding that way that best supports you in stabilizing, in finding balance, whether that's through the contact points, through the breath, opening to sound, whatever supports you in really just finding balance, stability, a sense of ease and relaxation in the body. Maybe taking a bit of time just to invite a relaxing and easing of any tension, any holding in the body. And just meeting whatever's left with kindness, with care. And just checking in, what's the mood, the quality of the mind at this moment? Tiredness after lunch, agitation, apprehension, ease, relaxed, calm. Just noticing whatever it is and meeting it with kindness. Welcoming it. It can help to start with connecting with a sense of gratitude or appreciation as a way of resourcing ourselves as we turn towards the difficult. So maybe a sense of gratitude to each other for the support of each person's presence, the holding of this space that allows us to come close to our experience. Appreciation for our collective intentions towards kindness, care, compassion. Just allowing yourself to open to that. Allow it to touch you. And when you're ready, bring to mind somebody you have a natural and easeful connection with. The heart just naturally opens to them. Whether that's as an image or a felt sense, just allow them to be part of your awareness. And bring to mind that they too suffer. It may be specific that you have in mind, or it may be something more general, our shared experience of dukkha. But connecting with that sense that they too are subject to pain and suffering. And bringing this wish that they be free from that pain and suffering. Using the phrases, may you be free from pain and suffering. May you be supported in times of difficulty. May you find peace and ease. May you be free from pain and suffering. May you be supported in times of difficulty. May you find peace and ease. So if you feel ready, with a final deep wish for their well-being, allow this person to fade from your awareness. And just come back to a sense of stability, balance through the body, the breath. And bring yourself into your awareness, taking care that you only turn to what you can meet in this moment. And connecting with that deep wish that you also be free from pain and suffering. May I be free from pain and suffering. May I be supported in this time of difficulty. May I find peace and ease. May I be free from pain and suffering. May I be supported in this time of difficulty. May I find peace and ease. So if you feel ready, again, just allowing that sense of yourself to fade and coming back to whatever supports stability and balance. Just checking in with how you're doing at this moment. If it feels supportive, expanding your awareness to encompass all of us here together in this hall. Connecting with our shared experience of pain, of suffering, of loss. May we be supported in this time of difficulty. May we find peace and ease. As we radiate out this intention of compassion to everyone in the room, just notice that we're also receiving compassion, that same intention, from 30 other people. Allow that compassion to touch you. May we be free from pain and suffering. And if it feels appropriate for you, you can imagine the wall in front of you dissolving and that intention of compassion just radiating out in front of you, out into the world. No need to force it, just allow it to flow naturally to the front. Now the wall to your right dissolves. And that intention of compassion can flow out unimpeded to all beings to the right. The wall behind you similarly dissolving. Compassion flowing unimpeded to all beings behind. The wall to the left dissolves. Compassion flowing out in all directions, unhindered. The roof and the floor dissolving. Compassion radiating to all beings everywhere. May all beings be free from pain and suffering. May all beings find peace and ease. And gently drawing the attention back in, coming back to stability, to balance, contact points, the breath, sounds. And maybe if it feels helpful, just allowing the hand to touch the tender heart. Thank you for your practice. There's a break of 5 minutes, so it's really just a stretch. Go to the toilet if you need to. And then we come back together for this afternoon's reflective exercise. And there will be a longer break of about 15 minutes halfway through, so you will get more of an opportunity to stretch and have a cuppa.